Welcome, everyone, to the Contact Center Perspectives Podcast. I'm Steve McDonald, your host. And today we have a very special guest. We have on Florian Schroeder of StepStone. And Florian, you are the head of customer success. And what we're going to talk about today is how do we transform the way that contact centers are perceived in the industry from not a cost center, but to actually a value center, and how that value is actually directly correlated to so much of the success of the company, right down to the bottom line revenue as well. So I'm excited to start in on this, but if you wouldn't mind, maybe give us a little bit more of an expansion of your background and what you're doing at StepStone right now.
Yeah, thank you, Steve. Thanks for having me on the podcast. Very happy to talk to you. Just to tell you what I'm briefly doing, I have some expertise in customer experience. I've been working for a wholesaler for more than 3 years in customer experience and putting that onto the level of one of the most important KPIs of the company. And now for almost 3 years, I'm working for StepStone. That is an online recruiting company, such as Indeed. You might know that one. And that's the biggest one in Europe. And I'm doing customer success here. I'm working on as well small customers, as well as strategic customers with several teams. And we try to bring customer success to even more importance than it already is and what it should be.
Fantastic. And what's really nice about that is you span in your position, both B2B and B2C, right? So one of the things that we want to talk about here, though, is that just the role of the contact center in the success of the organization. And what I wanted to do is start out with managing the customer journey and how much that impacts, obviously, not only the whole business, but how you run customer success, right? How do you run the contact centers? So maybe explain your thinking behind that a little bit.
Yeah. Managing the customer journey for me is something that is not very old. It is something that, let's say, we would have talked about it 20 years ago. It would have been very new to everyone. But now it is a field that needs to be tackled and managed proactively. So when we talk about customer journeys, for example, take the B2B customers, it makes a difference if B2B customers see and feel that you manage the customer journey proactively. And let's say you're in a market like StepStone is, in a market where prices are comparable, where services are comparable, it makes a difference if you have a team that is dedicated to manage the customer journey proactively. What you need for that is you need to have an end-to-end perspective on what the customer journey has inside. And if you do, you have to build bridges across all the departments, and you have to maybe break silos when it comes to success, sales, the leadership, experience, reporting, product, and you name it. And this is something we try at StepStone. I can always do better, but I'm really trying. And what we try to understand now is that if you manage the customer's loyalty today, you influence tomorrow's success, as in what you earn tomorrow. And first of all, to map customer journeys of our most important customers, and then to understand what we do where and where are maybe gaps where we could do better. This is where we are right now. And we are in a very interesting, let's say, situation where we take that to the next level and provide services that are surprising.
And you mentioned this idea of collaboration, right, between customer success, sales, and the leadership of the company overall. You coined a phrase in there in our previous conversation that you called the hygiene factor.
Yeah.
Can you explain what that is? Because I really like what you were saying there.
Yeah, I can try. If it comes to customer loyalty or customer experience, you usually start to talk about the hygiene factor or motivational factors. And the hygiene factors is something that you cannot proactively manage as a company because it is something that customers expect when they pay your price. They buy your product and they expect you, for example, if something with a product does not work, that they can address someone to help you. This hygiene factor. So if they address an issue and you don't help them, customers are immediately dissatisfied. Cannot change that. And you don't make them happier if you help them. So you can just, it's a 0-1 situation. A motivational factor is, and you can read like tons of studies about that, that you do something that suddenly creates happiness where there was nothing before. No unhappiness, no dissatisfaction, just nothing. And you created happiness. And to give you an example, let's say a company bought a job ad with us and says, look, I want to hire someone. And this is why I use you as StepStone in promoting that position to find someone. And maybe the logo changed. And now they ask my team to change the logo. So if we do that, all fine. If we don't do it, nothing's fine. Customer is unhappy, right? There will be hygiene factor. The motivational factor would be, for example, every now and then we call the very same customer and say, look, apart from all the topics we tackled so far, everything that matters to you, how would you rate our partnership? And this open question leads to a talk that you have suddenly on eye level that is disconnected from operational use cases 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but that is like a talk about your partnership. And this suddenly creates happiness where there was nothing before. So this is how we tackle these two fields. And this is how we differentiate also in the teams we have.
What you're talking about, I love that idea, like creating happiness where there wasn't before. And you said you can't proactively plan for that, but isn't that what the contact center is trying to do with every interaction?
So I think we have to, like in the last years, we start to understand that there is differences in managing customers' happiness. So picking up the phone when a customer calls you or responding to an email that has been written does not influence customer happiness, because that is just the expectation that you fulfill, right? So if someone buys a product for some dollars or for some $1,000, there is an expectation that comes with it. And it doesn't help if you just fulfill that expectation, because maybe your competitor does the same. But what if you find ways of increasing happiness with some impulses that you can meet on a sales that the sales account or account manager or sales manager says, look, I just want to make sure, like after 10, 20 days, whatever, that you're still happy with what you bought. Or that, for example, the service department, the contact centers, understand this is my customer. I am responsible for managing the customer journey, and I proactively write or call or set up a meeting just to make sure, for example, onboarding went well, or just to make sure the usage of the product goes well and everything is fine as expected. Or maybe you can find something that customers haven't seen, something they were not aware of, some products they were missing, or maybe some features they didn't find yet. And you can make sure that the customer knows about this and knows how to use the product. I would say the last part is part of the contact centers where they can make a real difference. Also, when it comes to the level of people you have at the road to their own skills, but we're going to talk about that later. I know.
Okay. So my takeaway from that, which is great, is a contact center can just handle the requests coming in and try to meet that expectation. Or you can go above and beyond that, and you can actually proactively try to engage with that customer and enhance that relationship and their experience and make them happier.
Absolutely, Steve. The only thing I would like to point out is you have to do the reactive things or the cases that are brought to you, right? You have to pick up the phone, you have to respond to emails, you have to be fast. Service level is one thing. Average response time is one thing. Average handling time for first response solution. Like all these things, they matter and they influence the hygiene factor, dissatisfied or zero. And then you can build on that. If you only do proactive impulses, you find things that customers might not have seen before, you try out new services. That only works if you have a great foundation. It's like you cannot build a roof without the rest of the house underneath. This is how this is the picture I would paint here.
I think this goes very nicely into a part of the conversation here that is about how do we actually proactively change the perceptions of contact centers as this kind of necessary cost that we have to go through versus a value center where we're adding value in so many different ways. What are the maybe recommendations that you have in terms of how you make that transition?
Yeah. So what I see in the industry is that there is a shift or a change from cost to value centers. If we would have talked 10 to 15 years ago, I think many companies would say, look, if we sold a product, there needs to be a contact center that can be addressed, someone to pick up the phone, someone to respond to emails, that's it. Now we are at a time where markets, they tighten, products get more, you can change them, product A to B, and you don't see that much of difference. And this is when service makes a difference. I really believe, I strongly have to underline that cost centers are something of the past and contact centers have to become value centers. How to get there? First of all, you need to have the right people on board. This is difficult enough. We talked before, right? You're in Denver, Colorado. I'm living in Western Germany, but we face the same issue. There is a lack of people. There is a lack of labor on our markets. You have to find the right people that want to work with customers, the right individuals. You have to develop the skill set. You have to pay them accordingly. And you have to build a cultivation or to cultivate a service-oriented mentality among them. To do so, you need to have a company environment that also understands the value of contact centers, that know that selling a product is one thing, and that everything that happens on the customer journey, that matters if you will sell again to this very customer or to a new customer. Because you can be sure, customers talk, non-customers and customers talk. You never know the network of any customer. Maybe they have tons of friends and tons of colleagues and tell them, look, don't buy with them. That's not a good company. Or, you know what? If I had issues, they really helped me. And they also called me to understand if I'm happy. And that matters. And if you promote that internally, you say, look, this is what we do here. This is how we use KPIs to measure if what we do creates value, if it creates money of the future. And if you understand, you have to integrate your performance of the contact center into overall company success, then you promoted your value internally. So hire the right people, make sure everyone knows what you're doing and what kind of worth it gives to the company. And then not only do what you've done always, but try new things. Try to find out what matters to your very customer. It can be different things. You may be in B2C, you may be in B2B. Your product might be very simple or very difficult. So try out what works. And if it works, scale it. Then make it happen for all business lines and try to take your team on a journey to develop the skills necessary to deliver a certain service that you aligned on, a certain sales pitch that you aligned on, and so on and so forth.
So I want to unpack a little bit of that. It was amazing. When you started out, you talked about the right people and that the right people have the right quality, the right mindset, that service orientation, and that service matters, and that they're influencing the customer, the perceptions of the entire company, right? And that they do that over time, and that all those people have their own network. So there is quite an impact and an effect on the business overall. That's brilliant. My question is, when you are training these people and you've brought them in, do you also train them on the fact that, yes, we want to have average call times reduced and first time response and everything, all the key KPIs. But do you train them on the fact that what you're doing here has this greater impact on the business? And how important is that in the part of the training that you actually do with these new people?
Yeah. I think, first of all, you can only train people that are ready to be trained. And therefore, I would go with the credo or the motto, I don't know how you say it, you hire character, you train skills. So I believe for contact centers of the future, it is more important that you hire people that have a service-oriented mentality and they don't need to know how to use a contact center dashboard or your ticket system, you name it, right? Or your CRM system. This is what you can train them and they can learn how to, like, which KPIs matter when it comes to your daily operative work. But if they bring a certain mentality, like, I want to help people, I want to make them happy, I want to make sure they know, my customers know how to use their products. If this is something they bring to the table, then you can train them on to get better there and also how to fulfill their KPIs. Does it make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. If people see the bigger picture and they understand the importance of what they do, because one of the things that you mentioned in our previous conversation that we're going to get to here is that nobody wants to just do the mundane things, the small things that don't really matter. They want to know that what they're doing has purpose and has impact. So that's why I asked that question in terms of, I totally agree, you're going to have the right character. You're going to hire for the right people because you can train the tasks that they do. But if they understand that what they do has critical importance for the company, the success of the company overall, they're going to probably be a lot happier in what they do because they see themselves as a vital part of that success.
Absolutely. I would like to give two more examples why that matters so much. First of all, it will be the greatest thing for any customer service consultant or any contact center consultant if a customer comes back, so stays a customer, a retention customer, and if they say, look, I do that because of, for example, Mr. McDonald. This is why I stay here, because Mr. McDonald really was great. He was always there for me, and he understood what I need before I knew myself, what I needed. That's the first thing. And second of all, if you proactively work on your customers and you try to make them happy, this is very unlikely to be subsidized by AI. Very unlikely. Unlike maybe your daily work routines, maybe they might be, but this personal interaction is very unlikely.
So now how do you then, and you talked about you need to promote this value internally within the organization, but some of these perceptions are long held as a cost center versus a value center, right? What are the things in your mind are the most important to be internally championing, right? You want to promote internally that show that actually we do have a much greater impact than just handling some questions. And there's a cost involved with handling some questions. What are the things that you want to do that promoting and do it well?
Yeah. First of all, as a contact center responsible, you have to know your KPIs. You have to make sure that your team knows the KPIs that matter, for example, because like only what you can measure counts. If you can measure it, it's not there. And that is, for example, when it comes to contact centers, and I talk about average handling time, average resolution time, and so on and so forth. The most important KPIs, if you want to put it the key KPIs, yeah, the key is the customer satisfaction score, the CSAT. So that measures your service. How good is it and how is it perceived by your customers? And as a next step, the net promoter score, as the lead KPI for customer loyalty. And if you are able to measure these two KPIs and that they influence one another, then you're able to promote that to your company to say, look, this is the value we bring. And if you then also have good controllers or even customer experience people in your company that make sure that they do the math right. And that is, they take the CSAT, the customer satisfaction score, they take the NPS, the net promoter score, and they say, look, if you influence this, you influence that. And if you influence that, this will influence your future revenue. And if you made that sure, if you build that line and you promoted that into your company, what it brings to your overall company's success, then you have created the value of a contact center. And then no one will even think about reducing labor there, because if you reduce labor there, have an impact on companies' revenue.
Well, love that. So revenue obviously is what we are all in business for. That is business. And we all know the net promoter score absolutely impacts revenue and that customer satisfaction impacts net promoter score. And so if we're working our way backwards here, what impacts customer satisfaction? And that's where you're talking about get the right people, the right character with the right service mentality, right? And you can train them to use the dashboards and different things like that. So if the right people are the key to the satisfaction, net promoter score, and revenue, then I have a question for you on the issue with the right people in the agent turnover issue that's happening in the industry. Right. We've been around up a little bit, down a little bit, around 40% agent turnover, right, for decades, for the longest time. Is that something that we should accept? Or is that something that we could impact in order to impact the customer satisfaction, net promoter score, and ultimately revenue?
Yeah, got your point. Agent turnover, first of all, I think is a natural thing that happens. I cannot give you the numbers for StepStone out of confidentiality. I cannot share them, but we also face turnover in our sales contact center and also in our service contact center. They differ, but we have them. But there is a natural turnover. But I think, let's say, let's put it this way. If it's on a scale from 1 to 10, I would give that topic an 8 of importance. You should tackle that as a company very proactively. First of all, recruiting costs are high. So if you constantly have a higher turnover than is natural for your business, then you constantly have to recruit new people. And in the beginning, I talked about labor shortage. So this is not going to get easier. And recruiting externally is always more expensive than developing internally. So this is something you would have to face. If you develop your people, first of all, you help people to grow in their own role. You develop people that have a great customer connection already. And this also helps your customers to know there is someone that I can always lean on. There is someone I can go to. If you lose these people and you constantly have to tell your customers, look, there is someone new now, and next year, actually, there is now someone new for you. This doesn't help you very much when it comes to, okay, we want to build on the potential of this customer, develop this customer price-wise or product-wise, whatever, if you have constant turnover there. This relationship is so crucial between, for example, a sales accountant, an account manager, the contact center consultant, and the customer. This relationship is so crucial, it has to withhold as long as possible. Of course, people develop internally, externally. This you cannot stop, and this is also important, but you need to make sure that there is a connection that stays, not only for months, but best case will be for years. And if you hire the right people and you start to develop them into the right way and you have a customer service mindset and you pay these people on a level that is something they can live with, and that is also, when it comes to benchmarks of their market, a salary they can live with, then you will reduce churn. There are some other factors such as the image of a company or leadership, a leadership culture, or how is your company developing in general when it comes to revenues. There are other factors, but I'm just pointing out this one factor. Hire the right people, develop them properly, make sure that there is a strong connection to sales and to your customer, and pay them right.
So is your point of view that we shouldn't accept a 40% turnover rate, that there's things that we can do, and that, and how high of a priority is that? If you're running a contact center, right? How big of a priority? You put it as on a scale of 1 to 10, you put it as an 8 in terms of that's the overall impact that agent turnover can have on the business, right? In the business's growth. And you drew the conclusion between agents and the success all the way through bottom line revenue. So how much of a priority should it be for a leader like you running a contact center to address this agent turnover? Should we accept it, or should we be working on it every day?
This is a no-brainer. We should work on it every day. And I can tell you why. I mean, 40% turnover rate is severe. And if you have that in your branch, in your market, in your company, this is an underlying virus. There is something incredibly wrong. As I said, you always have some turnover. And that's also a good thing, because if you have new people joining the company, they bring some, in German, we'll call this some fresh wind into their team, into their company, something new, something interesting, new perspectives. But still, that's a natural turnover rate you have. Maybe some people go to pension and then you replace them by others. That's fine. But if it gets over a certain line, and that has to be like very individual on a company, on a branch level, on a market level, this I can't say, okay, but 40% sounds a lot for me, then you have an issue. And this issue, I can try to like make one connection where this gets the worst. And there are several studies that show how important it is to keep your agents happy, like your employee happiness or employee engagement, and that there is a direct correlation to your customer happiness. To put it in easy words, the happier your employees are, the happier your customers, the happier your customers, the happier your employees. And that is like the opposite of a vicious circle, is a happiness circle that influence each other. And you cannot do this if you constantly have to recruit new people, onboard them, upskill them, and then you use them, and then you do all the same thing again. This circle of happiness will never develop.
So if this is something that we need to be working on a daily basis, and 40%, if that's where you're at, even close to it, there's something very wrong. So that's unacceptable. You've thought a lot about, how do I address agent turnover rate? What are some of your, to share with your peers here, what are some of your recommendations to put that proactive plan together and say, okay, if I'm going to do this, it's something that's important. I need to be working on every day. What are the top points? What are the things that you need to be working on?
So how can we address it? That's one thing is, and this is, I think, crucial, because if it comes to contact center agents or customer service consultants, you need to at first address the salary. You have to make sure that you have a competitive salary span in your company. Compare yourself to other departments in your company and compare yourself to your competitors. What are they willing to pay? If you pay $5,000, $10,000 less than your main competitor, you will always lose your people, your best people to them. Yeah. That's the first thing. So make sure that where is your possibilities? What can you pay? What are you also willing to pay? And don't try to underpay your best people. Second, remove boring and repetitive tasks. You can do that if you analyze your processes, where are gaps? What can you do? Which systems do you need to make agents' lives easier? And what you can also do is you can use the benefits of artificial intelligence. And AI might help us in a variety of ways when it comes to customer service. It can help you with addressing the right messages to your customer automatically. When it comes to use cases you have, let's say build the top 10 use cases and you say, look, do this. We have this answer, to this, we have that. And you free your agents up from all these repetitive tasks and everything that is, I typed the same mail for the third time today. And in doing so, you free up space, you free up resources. And what you shouldn't do, like in cost center, thinking you would not reduce people, but you shouldn't do that. You should use this free resources to become proactive and to understand your customer. What are the needs? Where can you find things or a situation that a customer will face in, let's say, 10 days or 2 weeks? And you can do something now so that the customer doesn't see that or face that in 2 weeks. It can be anything. It can be like you need more budget to go on with your product, or in 2 weeks, your lifespan will end. And what can we do now already? Or maybe you cannot be as happy with your product as you should be. If we would do this and that, you would adjust something, you could be even happier. So anything that helps to be more proactive, and AI is a big helping factor here. Sometimes it is perceived as a danger or a threat to jobs when it comes to contact center. It can be a real help because it frees up resources that are so desperately needed.
Let me ask you a question on that, that it can be seen as a threat to contact centers, right? But part of what you were saying there is don't reduce staff, right? Just use AI to make them more proactive, more productive, and to take away some of those mundane, boring tasks that nobody wants to do, right? That will lead to their job satisfaction, right? And address overall all of this to address the turnover rate. But what is your view? Is AI going to replace agents, or is AI just going to empower agents, but you would always still need that live agent? Where do you land on that?
When it comes to Sepsil, I can tell you we will take the second. We will say AI will empower our agents to do a better proactive customer service or even customer success work. I believe that some companies might think I can make AI 40, 50% of my use cases here. So 40 or 50% of my staff is not needed anymore. And I think that would be the wrong decision, because just to go back to the beginning, what we talked about, if I am able to get boring and mundane use cases out of my agent's hands and I make space for proactive services, for proactive impulses to my customers, to try to influence the motivational factor, something that is not expected, something that is surprising and cool. If I do this, then I influence the net promoter score, because the net promoter score will not be influenced by I had an issue and Steve McDonald helped me, right? This is not where this KPI suddenly goes skyrocketing. It goes skyrocketing. And if you do something that your competitors don't do, in order to do, you need time, you need space, you need the skills, you need to have the right mindset. You need time for that. And if you have time for that, you can think of something that makes your customer happy. And this is where it all gets together. This is where it all makes sense in total. The right people with the right skills, time, no stupid and boring tasks to do, like 1, 2, 3 hours per day that you can invest on your customer.
We all want more time in our day, right? And we all know what we would be doing. We would be doing things that are proactive. As business people, we think about that all the time. Why are we not thinking, how do we empower our agents to do the same thing, to be more proactive? You know, it's like the net promoter score is what you're doing that is different than your competitors. which isn't just the standard on answering questions quickly. So that makes perfect sense. We've talked about a lot. And what I would love to do is for everybody, your peers, other contact center leaders that are here, if there was one takeaway that you wanted them to have after watching or listening to this podcast, what would that be?
That's a great one, Steve. That's a really great one.
I would say the main takeaway is make sure what you stand for as a company, hire the right people to make your company's purpose reality,
keep them and make them happy, and watch happy customers unfold.
It seems simple, but I know that's why we all have, you have a career in order to make that happen. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing all these insights. And if people had additional questions that they had for you, would it be appropriate that we provide a link maybe to your LinkedIn profile that they could reach out to you?
Yeah, I would be happy to do so. At Cepstone, we don't do everything perfect. We do not, but we are on a process and on a way. And we went quite some miles already. We want to go some more miles. And I'm happy to share that to everyone that is facing similar issues as we do.
Fantastic. Again, thank you very much for coming on.